I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. Welcome back, guys, and welcome to another edition of Secret Defenders, where I invite guests on to defend their less favourite, lesser-known films, their cult classics, or films that some people generally just don't like. So we have our very own defender today, and it is the photographer extraordinaire and good friend of mine. It's Mr. Dan Burgess. Welcome.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm very good. Welcome to the show. Is this the first podcast you've ever done? Or?
It may be the first podcast I actually get released. I've done a few.
You've done a few, and they've...
I seem to end up on the cutting room floor.
Oh!
Let's find out what.
Well, don't worry. You are definitely in this one. It's coming out. It's going to happen unless the... You know, a nuclear war breaks out.
Well, you never know.
And that brings on very nicely to the subject today. So there's been a lot of chat about Chernobyl, which is this new kind of TV drama, I think Sky Atlantic drama.
Yes.
About the kind of radioactive fallout from the Chernobyl. It's kind of based on real events. Mm-hmm. Very harrowing, very bleak. Yeah. Kind of depiction of that. So, you said on Facebook recently that you'd watched Threads.
Again, yes.
Which was produced in the mid-80s or yeah. early 80s.
About what a lad.
When you were a wee nipper. And it was kind of depicts the fallout of nuclear war.
Yeah.
and the effect of the radiation on the people of Sheffield.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Well, basically, it's a realistic portrayal of what would happen to us mere mortals in a nuclear blast, essentially. Yeah. So it's set in Sheffield, which is, no offence to Sheffield, but it was quite bleak.
Working
class.
Yeah, exactly. So this
it shows a difference between your working class and your middle class family as well.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. It does have that kind of that element because you've got the working class kind of the two main characters are a young man, young woman,
yeah.
And they get together and they are from two very different families in Sheffield and they kind of bridge the gap. Very much a Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
But it ends probably more tragically than that story.
Just a touch, yes. It doesn't involve any lights. Well, there's a massive light through all the windows breaking.
Blinding. There's even a gentleman who's, I think he's on the toilet and goes, bloody hell! Bloody hell, fire! And he sees the blinding blast outside the window.
It's a bit of like comic relief.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very dreary.
He's like, bloody hell!
And it is done as a documentary. It's not like there's no hero, there's no like, no, we can save the day.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to warn you now, this film is bleak as it gets. It's as chilling and as sobering as it gets. There is no happy ending. I'll spoil the film. There is absolutely no happy ending.
Nope.
The happiest moments are in the kind of beginning of the film where they're just kind of living out their lives, you know, regular lives, everyone does. You know, you're sleeping with one girl, you're cheating on her the next minute.
Yes. As you do.
It's just standard for us men. It really isn't.
It gets, it's roughly 2 hours of gradual worsening, creeping death.
Yeah.
It's harrowing. It's one of those films where I seem to remember watching it in the 80s. Hmm. I think it came out in 84, so I would have been 9. And I seem to remember either watching it like in school or when I just completely made this memory up. But when I rewatched it, I did remember bits of it.
Really?
And I remember the bits of it that were just like the most haunting of probably seen.
That's
why I'm so weird.
You're damaged, you're scarred.
It literally is. It starts off ticker tape noise yeah, over everything.
Like almost like a typewriter.
And it gives you the facts about Sheffield and oh, it's a lovely. It's like 545,000.
Yeah. Fourth largest city in the UK. Yeah. Oh, this is great. It sounds all so good.
And then it's like, hey, up, love, let's go down pub. and they're all sat in like the little local men's club and the pint of bitter and all.
Yeah,
that
just
stuff.
It's kind of. I think it's a good kind of snapshot of you know just average life in Sheffield.
Yes.
Just kind of regular stuff. And then all the while this is going on, we get these kind of news reports of trouble in Iran. I think it's Iran.
I think it starts in the car radio, doesn't it?
And they keep turning like they're turning the music over. I think there's like is it Johnny B. Goode or
something? Johnny B. Goode or something.
Yeah, it keeps playing.
I think there's different versions of it though, because I think they had some kind of issues with copyright for Johnny B. Goode, so they changed the music.
Yeah,
and like at the beginning, depending on what version, I believe there's a spider threading the web because it's all about threads. Obviously.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And on certain versions, it's just Birdsong, and on I think the original version, there was some kind of music.
Some sort of music.
There's different versions.
Yeah, I guess because you see the shot of him turning down the radio, so you have to have something playing a news report or something. But yeah, he turns the news report over, and it gets kind of as their lives go on and kind of things you know progress. This young couple they fall pregnant, and they have to introduce the family.
She does.
I mean, we're talking about a different kind of horror film. Like chest bursters and face huggers.
You're talking about nuclear meltdown. He might
grow the required accoutrement to have a baby.
Like the alien queen. It's just a long thing.
Yeah, just like that Godzilla remake. He's just totally asexual now. and they keep kind of turning. They're just, and I think like that is, you know, if there was, because every day we like you said before we started that this actually reflects quite well in kind of modern context.
Yeah, I was surprised at that because obviously you remember it it's very 80s.
Yeah, it is very.
The film is very 80s. It's got lots of, I think what made it worse at the time was a lot of the people in it, the actors, are from like the likes of Coronation Street and Rhys Dinsdale's in it, who was quite big at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He starred in the film ID. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I've heard of it. It's like an undercover police, gritty thing.
Type skinhead thing.
Cool.
Really, really good film. He's good in it.
Yeah.
And I think he was in all kinds of like, you know, Home to Roost and all those type. Typical 80s fare.
Yeah.
Good boy comes home. Good son.
Yeah. The good son. Oh, what's he up to this week?
All those usual comedy things. So it was all faces who you know and you like you recognise now as, oh, she's in Casualty.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, yeah, there was the mum of the kind of the lower class family. She is very recognisable. I think she might be in Phoenix Nights or something like that.
Yeah, she'd been in loads. Yeah. And the little sister was
she looked familiar,
she was a paramedic in Casualty
in
Holby City for ages.
Oh wow.
She played
really?
Dixie. One of the head
paramedics. Head
paramedic,
awesome, right. Well I actually read that they were gonna use like just the cast of Corrie.
Yeah.
Like so it would be like Jack, Vera, Reg, Betsy, and they're just dealing with all this nuclear fallout.
But the meaning of the rover is like that. This pipe tastes funny to you.
Yeah. Oh, my hot pots just keep getting hotter. You know. Just imagine that. How weird would that have been for like a normal audience just watching like the rovers melt down?
Because it's set because it's shown as like a documentary as well, you won't be like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a weird kind of bridging of the fictional and the factual.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have worked. Like, you know, there are people out there who believe that the shows are like real life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some people that go, you know, it's not an act, it's not pretend. They were like, you know, there's been attacks on people and various other, like on actors, or being harassed in the street going, I can't believe you left Ken.
Indeed,
you know, things like that. And, you know, that probably would have mortified them, even those people who believe that it's not an act, even more than what this already does, which is horrify
everybody
under the sun. Like, anyway, like guys, if you're looking for a happy-go-lucky film, this is not the one.
No, it's definitely not.
you kind of, as we go on, we kind of get more and more of the kind of, it's more ramping up, isn't it? It's ramping up to being at war.
The news reports are escalating the tensions between the US, USSR, as it was, and they're in the Mossad base in Libya or wherever it is. I forget now. And basically it's that, you know, the Americans have gone in to cover the oil and the Russians have gone, yep.
Yeah, well, we'll have that. Thank you.
and because Sheffield has got US Air Force bases, It becomes obviously a target for the nuclear weapons to be pointed towards. There is actually a film this was based on called The War Game, 1965. It won an Oscar for as a documentary.
As a documentary,
but again, it's essentially the short version of... You know, and now they make a short film and then it eventually becomes a big movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bigger movie's normally worse. Not as in worse, but as in it's not as good.
Yeah.
Well, this is taking that short film, which was... I'd say more... I watched it today, and it's actually more harrowing than...
Really?
Wow. Threads is a shows more
and yeah, goes it shows beyond, more detail.
Goes beyond the point where the other one leaves off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So the other one's almost a bit after the blast and it finishes, whereas this goes on for
years. Yeah, we skip a few weeks prior and then the blast, and then weeks and months prior, and then I think there's a jump of like 10 years.
Or 8 years.
8 years, something like that. And then maybe another 3 years or something. There's a few kind of jumps in time to show the absolute devastation of these megatons of nuclear fallout.
That's something I found funny. You just mentioned megatons, nuclear fallout. Well, it was kilotons.
Yeah, I guess it was.
So it's 50 to 100 kiloton bombs, it says.
Yeah, and that's not even like directly on England. That's just over.
Yeah.
That's just falling over us because we're not the targets.
If you think about it now, I think Russia's biggest bomb's 100 megatons.
Yeah. Jesus. That's just overkill.
And they've got thousands of them. And it's like if they drop 60 in the world, apparently the world will be destroyed for like the next 10,000 years. But they've got 4,500 just in America and or wherever, you know.
That's just like, it's just like, do you want to ruin the planet for everybody? Well, you've shot yours. We're going to shoot our load as well. And everyone's fucked, pretty much.
Well, that's a good thing about that other one. The
War Game.
The War Game.
Yeah.
It's on the iPlayer, the BBC iPlayer at the moment as well, so you can watch it.
I'll do that.
You can watch it straight after this.
Oh, yes. Because I need more bleak and sobering and horrifying programs to watch.
But that does actually show that kind of thing where they do vox pops. So they're interviewing the public. I assume it's actors.
Yeah.
But there's that many of them. I'm wondering whether it is actually. Mm. And it's like women going to women saying, what do you think of nuclear? Oh, well, I don't really know. I suppose it's probably bad. And then, like, you know, they go to a fella and go, if we all, and they're all proper, like, you know, it's 1960s, so it's still like, so if they drop a bomb on us, do you think we should drop the bomb on them as well? And I happen to think we should, you know. If they do it to us, we may as well do it back to them, might we? You know, if you've got any fingers left to press the button, like, of course.
Still dropping off.
It's fascinating to see. 1965. Was like, what, 20, 30 years after the war.
Yeah.
So tensions were still there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Then 70, what was it, 50, 60 years after the war, you've got Threads, and it's still the same.
Yeah.
And then if you watch them both today, take the main, like, antagonists in the stories, and it's today.
You could, you know, there's a possibility of Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Somebody who likes to tweet, like, I'll knock you out if you come round my pub again.
Our button is bigger than yours, our bombs are bigger than yours, you know.
And any day, and that's the same fear they had in the Cold War. Yeah. But unfortunately now, no one really, everyone's too in Facebook and
to bother.
Bother with real life.
Well, I mean, I
this has done really happy this
week. I know, we were going so well and now we've gone back into the darkness.
Where's the party popper? we interrupt this program for a happy issue.
We should have watched, you know, Step Brothers or something, just to cheer ourselves up.
I wanted to watch Aladdin, but you just said...
it's got to be Blake. My first note on my phone when I was watching this is, whose idea was it to watch this? And I went, mine. It was mine. And like, after this film, you will sit back and you will have a long think for about 10 or 15 minutes to just take that all that in, all that horror, all that anguish, all that pain, all that possibility... of that, you know, I describe it as a horror movie because it left me with such a profound effect. You know, I've seen slasher movies, I've seen, you know, alien movies, I've seen weird cosmic horror, you name it. I've seen all the kind of horror films you could possibly think of, found footage. The real thing that scared me was this and the possibility it could happen to you or your family.
Ultimate faceless killer. That's that you don't know is there.
Yeah.
And it could be.
Could come
outside your window at any minute.
Could come at any time. Yeah. We wouldn't know necessarily. Well, you know, if you're blinded in the first blast, you probably wouldn't. But It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And if you don't get your friends around and put this on, if you're up for a good time, because this is not a party film. No. I think most people would sit and watch this alone, or maybe with a partner. And it's so well made. The budget was only £400,000.
Yeah.
It's a made for TV movie, so it's made by the BBC for the BBC. Broadcast, you know, the height of the Cold War, you know, it was very relevant, yeah. You know, very politically relevant. And I'm pretty sure that all those kind of nuclear war films, the ones we've been discussing, I'm pretty sure Ronald Reagan watched it.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
As far as I'm aware. And I think...
And change policies.
Yeah, because, you know, he saw, obviously, the because all the stuff that happens is all factually correct.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a work of fiction. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as I know, nobody nuked Sheffield in the 80s.
As far as we're aware.
No.
If anyone from Sheffield can let us know.
Please inform us if you were, in fact, you know.
It's easier to dial on your phone because you've got 7 fingers now.
And 2 heads.
Yeah.
2 phones with 2 heads.
You know, it never happened because there'd still be nothing there.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be something else. What would it be the next largest city if it wasn't
Chernobyl or the North?
And that's it. That's why we're talking about it. But yeah, that's what I like about all the factual information, all the kind of, like you were saying, the type text coming up and all the information. It's all well researched. It all would happen, and it's all. I mean, there's some gross stuff in this movie as well, like disgusting occurrences, but would happen. It would, and it's horrible. And the way that it's kind of, I think the depiction of like society's downfall is quite realistic as well.
And it's happened so quick.
Yeah. And it
would happen quicker now.
I think so,
because everyone's so out for themselves these days. Mm. Not everyone. But, you know, I sweep a wide brush there, but
you're going to murder me after this, aren't you?
There's a lot of that inward. You know, or social media. And
It's a little self-absorbed, isn't it? It's a little self-absorbed, and we are a little bit, you know, we all depend on our phones, you know, even right now I'm holding my phone because I've got notes on it and stuff. We're very dependent on those devices, and to survive, we kind of can't be. We have to have relevant skills and know how to do
stuff.
There's
a really interesting thing, actually, and there's a similar film, the American version, if you like, which came out before Threads.
Mm. Yeah.
It's called The Day After.
Mm.
And it's got Steve Guttenberg in it. It's a proper...
Oh, you met Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, yes.
You're rubbing shoulders with the stars.
Me and Steve.
Where was that? Was that the Love of the 80s? Or?
It's basically Comic-Con Manchester.
Okay.
It's Monopoly events do all various ones, and the side heading of it was For the Love of 80s, For the Love of 90s.
Okay, right.
So they had like Baywatch babes there, and Steve Guttenberg, and a lot of the Police Academy cast.
Yeah,
Leslie
I saw that.
Easterbrook.
Did you meet Michael Winslow as well?
I did indeed, and he's one of the funniest men I've ever met.
Oh,
apart from myself.
Yeah, of course, standard, you know. I can do, you know, sound effects, you know. I can do... The burning. That's a clip from Threads.
accurate.
Yes.
I think that's.
Ooh,
I think, was that the Child 2? I think that.
Yes, I believe Child 2. And that's after he is, covered in radiation burns.
But that is the thing of this film: is it does not let the kids off lightly.
Jesus Christ! No.
There's like kids burning in the streets, and
there's a quite a famous section where the mother to be is walking through the wreckage and the burnt bodies. She's walking through all the burnt bodies and everything. There's a
choking cat.
Oh God, yeah.
It's a suffocating
cat. Suffocating cat because he's
breathing. And it's actually.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere it might have been catnip. It's not actually. Yeah, they didn't harm any animals.
It doesn't look.
No, it doesn't look nice. Maybe they shot in reverse or something.
I
don't know.
That's what's the thing about it is. It's probably not even close to realism.
No.
How bad it would be.
Yeah. Like,
it's probably like a light version of it, and yet it's still, oh my God.
Yeah. Like this, it's kind of, it's almost like, as awful as it is, it's probably still quite tame and like digestible.
Yes.
Because I think if it was just absolute horror, and it is absolute horror, don't get me wrong, but I think if it was too far removed from real life, that we just wouldn't be able to contemplate it, to comprehend that kind of.
Because they were using some of the stuff they were using, like they built like the old thing of build a fallout shelter. Put a table up against the wall.
Yes.
I've put a few sheets on it. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know.
But you must close your windows. Please, close your windows.
Close your windows. Yeah. That's the best line ever. close your windows because there's going to be 70 billion mile an hour wind blasting through them in a minute.
And that kind of information was factual information.
Yeah, that was based on the sheets that came out at the time, or the TV.
Is it Protect and Survive, is it?
Protect and Survive. I believe, I think I read that was, they were never released properly.
Okay.
So they were like leaked, if you like.
Okay.
Then a documentary came out about them.
About the leaking, yeah.
So and showed the films, and then the film, I think you can actually buy that on DVD now, yeah. The actual documentary about it. I'll probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube as well.
Everything's on YouTube.
But it reminds me of, there's a South Park episode, I can't remember which episode it is, but it's like a volcano's going off, and they're like, please, when the volcano explodes and the red hot magma is heading right towards you, remember to duck and cover. Duck and cover. And there's like a little video of the lava going over the top of the people who've ducked and covered. And then there's two people later on, they're going, oh, the lava, quick, duck and cover, duck and cover. And they duck and cover and they instantly turn into skeletons the second the lava hits. That's absolutely brilliant.
That's genuinely it. And I think it was done, these films were done for people of all, as well, they've got to be of all education levels.
Yeah, you've got to understand it.
There's no faces on any of the drawn characters.
No.
Everything's lovely artwork. Cardboard house.
Yeah, it's very like
this room.
Yeah, they all look kind of like, you know,
massive house though. It's got like about 12 rooms. Like,
and getting your fallout shelter. Yeah. Getting your fallout shelter. It's terrifying that they had to have something like that prepared.
Yeah.
You know, they had to have an infomercial or whatever you would call it to explain how to. I mean, all of it's like, it's almost like a joke now, like it was in South Park. It's almost like a joke because no matter what you do, you know, it's like you can leave after 4 days, the fallout will have lessened. And it's not the truth at all. But it's the best they can do. The best they can do against nuclear war is that. And it's not even a stopgap, not even a protective measure. It's nothing. It does absolutely nothing.
I always say, because I'm always talking about nuclear war.
Yeah.
With my family, I'm sat around the table going, oh, what about nuclear war? So, but I always say, if they said now, if an alarm went to say 3-minute warning or whatever, I don't think you're going to get, there's no way the government are going to say, oh, let's panic everyone.
Yeah.
They just know. But if there was one, drive towards where it's going to land and just get vaporized.
That's my plan. That's my plan if it happens. I go, right, where's it landing? I want to be at ground zero.
I don't want to be that girl at the end of that film.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah.
Eating live sheep.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digressed a bit into too far into the film.
Yeah, we have gone a bit far. Let's go back. So let's go to the dropping of the bomb. Let's go to the drop. So it's
that's
not
the best bit.
Yeah, that's the best bit. That's the fun bit. The fun bit. Yeah. You've had all the lighthearted drinking and boozing and women and you know, unwanted pregnancies, meet the parents, awkwardness, and all that sort of stuff. Then the bomb drops. You get everyone, blinding flash goes off, and you see Sheffield High Street.
Yeah.
And like I think the first person who sees it, a woman instantly wets herself.
Yeah.
Just out of sheer fear. And that's probably the first horrific thing that happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of bladder and bowel control lost in this movie and vomiting as well. So if you've got like a light stomach, you can't handle that sort of stuff. This is not the movie for
and
you.
And I think the thing about it as well is because it's 80s, I think that adds to the horror because it's not all flashy and digital and well, beautifully done. I think everything looks more realistic.
Grim and gritty.
And
it's believable. It's so believable.
Some of the things where you're seeing people like melted
after
the blast look real.
Yeah. I know.
I hope they're not.
Yes, so do I. I hope that
the BBC will have a lot to answer.
I believe the kind of after the post-apocalyptic, if you will, sections of the movie. I think they were done on like an estate that we're going to demolish in Sheffield. So that kind of lends a bit of realism to it as well. But yeah, so the bomb drops and then the main character hides
under a truck.
Yes, that'll protect us. And they're like, we've got to go. And his mate was in the pub who's like, yeah, we'll never, you know, if the bombs drop, whatever, you know, and, you know, it'll be fine, you know, we'll be dead. If we've got to live our lives, we've got to, you know, cheat on our girlfriends. and he's like, he's in utter horror. He can't even fathom it. And then the main character, I can't remember his name, but he kind of goes off to find his partner, to find the...
Isn't it terrible that poor guy, you know, he's just survived the nuclear blast and we can't even remember his name.
I know. We'll make a memorial for
him. It's Reece Dinsdale, yeah.
Is it? Reece Dinsdale, yeah,
I don't know what his name is.
No, there? Gosh. We're going to say Tommy?
I reckon it's, yeah, Joey or...
Joey, Tommy.
Something with an E at the end.
Yeah, probably. Like laddie. Yeah. Laddie lad. Yeah, that's the kind of character he plays in it. He's kind of the laddie lad, you know.
It's made by the person who wrote Kez, wasn't it? So it's...
Of course, yeah, of course. Is it, who's the director? Is it Mike Jackson? Mike, I probably wrote it down somewhere. Mitch Jackson? What's his name?
Sorry, Mitch Jackson.
No, I didn't write it down. Oh, well.
It's somebody directed it, yeah.
Somebody directed it. Somebody wrote it.
Definitely. I think the person who wrote it wrote Kez, didn't he?
So, yeah, that makes
he's got
sense.
That typical Sheffield, because you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oop North.
So, come here, Kez.
He can write. That's why it's so powerful, I think, is because it's realistic.
I think it's very kind of grounded. Yep. Like, considering the premise is especially grounded. Like, a lot of these kind of disaster movies, they kind of lose me a bit. A lot of kind of disaster movies. A lot of the Roland Emmerich stuff and things like
that. Yeah, because it's not real. It's like there's always a hero. And that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. There's hope.
Because this is a docudrama. It's not, oh my God, my girlfriend's having my baby. I've got to rescue her from the flames of hell. And then at the end, they get to her and rescues her.
Yeah, and they have the baby.
And her face hasn't melted off or anything.
I mean, there's, again, don't hold out for any hope for any of these characters. Absolutely
don't have a favourite.
Yeah, don't have a favourite.
You think Game of Thrones is bad? this is only 2 hours of just straight in. Just
dying. But yeah, so he ducks and covers, and then the kind of his family kind of block themselves off.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like they said, you make the kind of makeshift fallout shelter
as
best they can.
Door against the wall.
Wedge it. And the mummy gets it really bad. She gets kind of like radiation burns off that half.
What happens is that you see the young lad in it, the young son, I think it's the girls.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It was terrible at actually working out which family was which.
Yeah,
because they all kind of like blend.
In the end,
they all mix into them.
In the end, it doesn't actually matter because they're all dead anyway.
Yeah. Everybody's dead.
It doesn't matter how much money you have, or how little money you have, how big your house is, you're all getting radioactive.
But I looked at this young lad. He resonated with me because he's obviously a gamer. But he's got a little 80s game.
That's right, yeah.
And that's all he's into. And his parents are talking to him. He's ignoring them, basically. And all the warnings are on the radio, and he's ignoring the warnings because he's playing the game. And the family say, don't go outside. And he's ignoring them because he's playing the game. And then you're playing this little ghost game. That you can actually still get the game, I believe.
Yeah, probably. I don't know what they call those games, but there's like a name for them.
You know, it's like a Game and Watch, but it's
Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah. It's like, not quite. It's like the version. Yeah,
it's like the English version of a Nintendo Game Watch. But he's playing that, so he's not listening to them.
No. He does pipe up when he talks about the unwanted pregnancy of his brother, and they're like, what's an abortion? You know, that sort of thing.
So, of course, when the blast's coming and they're all like, get in, what a shelter, woman! Yeah. He's outside going, whatever, playing a bloop, bloop, bloop game in the chicken coop.
Pigeon thing. It's like, you and your bloody birds.
It has to be a pigeon thing in the Sheffield thing.
Of course.
So he's in there. The bomb hits. They get into the thing. She gets out of it just in time for the blinding white light to come through the windows and melt her face off, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, half a face.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice use of gelatin and cornflakes.
Oh, God, yeah.
obviously, she's going, calling out for her son.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, where are you, you soft bugger? And obviously, he's outside, and he's just a charred leg.
Yeah, just to, like,
sticking out.
Did she, like, pick up his shoe and, like, hold his shoe close to it?
And it's just got his legs.
And they're like, right, let's get inside, you know. But
and I think that doesn't really show. I think the original, the war game, shows the psychosis of people.
Yeah.
Can't handle it.
Mm.
And I think...
Just break down.
I think in Threads, that's what happens to air, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not made this,
what do they say? There's one where it's like the mental state of someone with radioactive poisoning and someone who's just dreadfully afraid are the same.
Same thing, yeah.
Like it's the same symptoms. They're going to be, you can't recognise either. You can't differentiate in either way. The symptoms are the same. Just absolute panic, shock and horror.
Same.
The same as just being poisoned, you know, and because you're vomiting, you know, the middle class family or the higher class family, they end up in a kind of basement, don't they? They get the grandmother out of hospital. They have to empty all the hospitals as well.
Yeah.
They empty all the hospitals for emergency.
This is the thing that people, forget about nuclear war. As I was saying before about that, the American version, like it's Hollywoodized kind of to a degree. It's a similar film,
yeah,
but set in America. So you haven't got that same gravitas as someone from the UK
it's
watching
it. It's not going
to
be as relatable.
But the thing that is different is, like, later on, when everything, the shit hits the fan, there's still electricity. Now, a nuclear blast wipes out electricity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what shows
the EMP
in this film
is
so good. The EMP hits before everything else.
Yeah.
So all the electricity's gone. So you've got nothing. That was set in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't have enough. And in the 60s, one was the same.
Mm.
The amount of doctors and nurses they had then they said something like there's 3,000 people to, or 350 people, maybe less, to per doctor. So considering now we've got less doctors than we had then.
Wow.
Think on!
Yeah. What's that going to be like? One doctor per 1,500 people or something like that?
So that's you're not scary. You're not going to get seen.
No.
When your legs hanging off, you best just use it to fend off the mutants.
Now we've... all the mutants.
Swing at those mutants.
It's not the Omega Man, you know.
well, we didn't get past 10 years, so you never
know. That's true. You don't know what's going to develop.
It will be fallout by then.
What I found really interesting, I know we talked mostly about the kind of the two main families in the story, but there's a few other kind of characters.
Yeah.
But there's also this kind of, this government
the
action.
Government, yeah.
Yeah, basically the government kind of deputize.
It's one of my favourite scenes. I'll mention it.
Oh, I'm sure. And they kind of basically deputize a small number of people for emergency, state of emergency kind of whatever happens. They go into a bunker and they have to organize and distribute food and places to live for people and various other things. Like the things that a government would do, but they have to do it within their area, within their borough. And that's kind of, they're in charge. And they have like... utter kind of, they have too much power, and they're making like the absolute hardest decisions. Like there's a line where it's like, should we be feeding these people if they can no longer work?
Yeah,
because we need them to work. We need this country to we need to rebuild. We need to repopulate. We need to do.
So they start using food as a weapon, essentially.
Yeah.
So
and they're just shouting at each other because they're like, I need this, and like, well, we haven't got it. We haven't got roads. There aren't any roads. There aren't any stocks, there aren't any supplies, there aren't any places to put the criminals.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't know, kill them, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. That's probably the most one of the more terrifying aspects.
I think those scenes in particular are fascinating, because if you've ever worked in an office, it's essentially the worst people in an office given the worst job. So they even say, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What do I do with this? Yeah. Do I do a ring? And like, eventually they're ringing people, but their phones are all gone because everything's gone.
Yeah.
But my favourite, and it's terrible this, my favourite scene is where everyone dies. No,
the whole film then.
What makes me laugh in that scene is these guys are meant to be like the saviours of the earth almost.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, they're in the bunker, they're safe, they're going to control everything. So they've got these big air vents above their heads, pumping in the fresh air. At one point, all the toxic dust starts coming through them.
Yeah.
And they leave them pumping for a couple of minutes, and then one goes, well, somebody shut that up. It's like, a bit late now, mate.
Yeah, it's already in. And they get kind of trapped, don't they? They get kind of trapped in the bunker. And then I think they have some electricity, don't they? But it's dwindling.
They've got
a generator or something. And they were protected because they were in the bunker, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of... it's scary, the kind of decisions they're making. Like you said, it's all the worst people in your office, all the people you hate in your office that you work in. They're given all the power that, you know, they might want or don't want.
Yes.
And have to make those hard decisions they've never had to make.
Just normal people given extraordinary circumstance to.
Yeah, it's.
But you'd think these people would be trained.
Mm.
But that's what's even more bleak about it, is it shows you the fact that, as you know now, people will... like, I mean, look at the Prime Minister of this country, for instance. Well, ex-Prime Minister. But it's like, given a job as a career path that they have got no right being in because they haven't got a clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then, so they're in that anyway. And then somebody's gone, you can be in the task force. And they're like, oh, great, it's a higher pay grade.
But like
and then when it happens, because you think it's never going to happen.
Nah.
So, you know, if you're in work and they say, tell you what, we'll give you an extra 15 grand a year to be the first aid person.
Yeah, basically.
Thinking no one's ever got, and then there's a big disaster and you go, shit.
He gets a key, he opens up his kind of desk of drawers and it's like the doomsday plans.
Yeah.
Like it's stuff they've sort of prepared for, but they never thought would actually happen. Yeah. That's why they're so unprepared. That's why they're like getting open in the books
and
again.
A massive thing with all these printouts.
And they're just like, oh my God, I'm like, they have to do this.
Yeah. And they're trying to plot on the map and they don't know how to plot a map.
Yeah.
You know, to try and get the radius.
It's just like,
arguing with
imagine like Ricky Gervais is Stephen Merchant's The Office, but where everyone is screaming and shouting at each other constantly, and they're all dying. It's kind of that.
And they all know that.
And they're all like just getting more and more.
And they're trapped underground.
Yeah, and it's just the stress, the absolute stress. And one of them just like, and they're like, there's one scene where they're like, I think it sort of caves in or traps them, and something hits one of the staff members on the head. Takes them right out, and they're like, get me the first aid kit. Get me the first aid kit. Come on, get me that first aid kit. And he's like, don't bother. He's dead.
Yeah.
And
get a bag.
And that's it. Put him in a bag. But, you know, they put like his jacket over him. It's just like, and it's kind of like, it's almost like darkly humorous in some ways. You kind of.
Well, the reality makes it humorous because the reality was in those pamphlets that say the protect and save, protect and survive.
Yeah.
The actual pamphlets that came out said, like, if somebody dies in your house, and I think it says it in the film.
Chuck them out.
Put them in bags if you can't get them outside.
Yeah.
So if you can't get them outside, cover them in plastic. Mm. So people have plastic ready to...
Put them in a bin bag.
There's a film called When the Wind Blows,
okay,
which is very similar, you know, but it's a cartoon by Raymond Briggs, who made The Snowman.
Oh, cool.
It's a slightly less happier version of The Snowman. With him.
It's radiation in the air.
There's fallout everywhere. So an old man and woman.
Yeah.
Who do all that, you know, come on, love. And, you know, and he clearly loves and he's made this shelter and everything.
Yeah.
But, and they're reading those books.
Hmm.
And it's like, it's just so bleak because you've got no chance of anything.
No matter what you do, it's absolutely futile.
Yeah.
It's fucking futile no matter what you do. So like you said, being at Ground Zero is if it's going to happen...
Just get vaporised.
Yeah, get there and then at least you're not going to suffer what happens next. The bomb drops. The two families try and the government are in the basement. They're in their bunker. Two families are locked up in their houses, trying to keep safe, trying to seal up the windows, seal up everything. Some of them have got really... I tell you what, one of the saddest moments for me was when the woman in the lower class family, she's got all these horrible radiation burns, nice. and they're throwing up in their own like mugs and cups and stuff, and they're like, oh, just get me a glass of water, go on, get me a glass of water. And he goes outside and he finds the kitchen sink, and he turns the tap on. And he's like, a little bit of water comes out, and I'm like, oh, at least he can get us some water. And then he finally finds a cup, and the tap stops. And I just went, fucking hell.
That's just,
come on. That's like, it's another kick in your balls.
It's probably a good job, because it probably would have just been pure acid.
Yeah. Well, they do drink it. Like, they drink water. They're spitting it out. And even, like, whiskey as well has been irradiated. Yeah. So it's like...
Well, everything's irradiated, isn't it? So,
so
they show like it tells you about like the first crops.
Yeah,
there wouldn't be any.
No.
There's no pesticides. Mm. There's no bulldozers to do anything. So it's all going to be manual labor.
Yeah.
No one's got anything, so everyone's starving to death.
Yeah,
because there's no food left. So whatever food's left, the governments have got.
Yeah,
they're using that as like where can you get fed?
Exactly. Yeah, they're using it as kind of And if you're
people left, right, and center,
there's looters and
people in like traffic wardens with them.
Yeah,
that's a famous picture with the traffic wardens.
He's got the bandage face, and he's got like an M16 or something. Yeah,
and he's like basically putting people behind in a cage essentially.
Yeah, and if they they're all starving, like everyone's just starving and going mad,
and the guy like. The police then start saying, you know, you've got to take these people into your house.
Yeah.
So obviously, if there's a person in there, like the old guy.
Yeah, the old guy.
I'm not having anyone in here.
What if they're thieves and murderers and all that?
And they're not well, you know. And so he said, look at him. So the police get rid of one of the guys.
Yeah, they do.
Because he looks a bit ill.
Yeah.
I don't know, he probably got shot off camera.
Yeah, who knows?
But they make the old guy take these eight people in or however many it is.
Hmm.
And then 10 seconds after the police have buggered off, he just chucks them all back out.
With
all the stuff.
Almost straight away, he's just like, get out. It
shows you that thing of how you would want to protect.
Yeah.
I mean, when he opens the door, you can see he's covered in dust and everything.
Yeah, exactly, He's dead. He's dead. But it's the only thing he has left.
Yeah, so all he's protecting his cattle, isn't he?
And, exactly. And who knows? Like, they could have easily been murdered by any of those people who got the way in.
It's things like that, though, that are the most harrowing bits.
Because
it's like you feel that actual human. That's how you'd be.
Yeah.
The people outside really act it well because they want to get inside.
Yeah.
Oh, we just want shelter. That's all.
Yeah.
And the fella's like, well, I'd find us somewhere else, pal. Yeah. You're coming in my house with all my dust. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely dust, yeah. Just needs a good dusting, that's fine. That'll protect you.
So give it
a good
dusting. Throws them all out.
And, yeah, you know, onto the street. And
they've got like little sugar cubes and that's it. And they're scrabbling around to pick all their little possessions up. They've got pins and like paper clips. And,
they're trading, aren't they? Because that's the only thing they have. Like, I think there's a scene towards the end where one of the members of the family is the father. He's trying to trade. He trades a cigarette for whiskey.
Yeah,
because it's the only thing they've got left. And like,
she trades a body for.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. That's. Oh God. So the young girl who gets pregnant at the start of the movie, she runs out on her family because she wants to find the main her fella who just disappears, doesn't he? You don't. That's quite tragic in itself. You just never know what happens to him.
That's realism, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again. It's like, because you wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Someone's, you know, he's a bit of masonry could have fallen on him. Yeah. He's chucking up because he's had, you know, he's blinded or, you know.
We don't.
Someone's murdered him. You know, who knows?
It's not like we know and they don't know.
No, even. Exactly. Yeah.
It's literally no one.
Literally, he just disappears in the film. And that's quite, like, for any of the film, for any of the, like, plot or something, people are like, well, where's that character gone? They've been cut out or there's a scene that's been cut.
You don't even notice, really.
You don't. And
it's that bit.
And it's just like, she goes out to find him. He goes to
find
her.
You feel like you're trying to survive this film yourself.
Yeah. Honestly, I was utterly devastated by it in this film. I couldn't speak. I couldn't talk. I was like, I need to do something else before I go to sleep because this is gonna haunt me. I'm gonna have dreams about this.
So she finds another man that she like travels with.
Yeah, so it's his mate. It's his mate from the start, and he has like radiation burns and stuff and scarring. And he looks after. He goes, oh yeah, you were.
And he's the one who's told him from the beginning of the film to ditch her. And all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's like, get rid of her. Yeah, go and shag that other bird and stuff. And now he's kind of any he kind of, but then he disappears as well.
Yeah.
He just disappears again. Like he just stops being there
because she has a baby in a barn.
Yeah, she does
not
on her
like
own.
Jesus though.
No, it's like, no. There's an Alsatian barking at her constantly,
and you see her chewing through the
umbilical cord.
And stuff,
yeah, that's pretty grim.
The baby survives.
Yeah, the baby lives.
And it didn't have like five.
I mean, when she's in with her family, when she's down there, she's, you know, you're like, oh, come and clean. Nana's wet herself. Come and clean her. It's like Jesus Christ. It's like harrowing. They're like, and the grand's like, I'm like a little baby. I'm like a little baby, and it's just,
you know, it's in a bit where she
goes back. Yeah, she goes back. So
obviously the smell hits her, so she doesn't go back.
Well, I think what happens is she leaves, she runs out, and the family are like, what are you doing? Don't leave us. And she's like, I've got to find him. And there's a scene before she leaves where she's like, they're like, you've got to look after you've got to think of your baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I don't want the baby. It's going to be ill. I wish it would die. I wish my baby would die. And then the gran dies after she leaves, and the parents have to put the gran at the top of it. They just put her at the top of the stairs. And then she does come back, only to find that Gran's being eaten. Gran's being eaten by rats. She goes to head down, but you don't actually see the parents. You just kind of, she just, it's a stench. The stench of it. She just leaves.
Smell of the parents.
Yeah. And they say in the film, like, the really young and the really old will have no chance.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, they've got no chance. The people who are kind of, you know, young to, you know, fairly young to middle age, kind of, you know, the mid-range age group will have the best chance to survive. And that's true, and that's what happens. But yeah, she kind of goes off and then she just basically has to kind of rummage, survive, scrounge. And like you were saying,
you find a dead sheep and you just eat it.
Yeah, this skin.
And that was real, by the way.
Was it, what, the skinning of that dead sheep?
Yeah, they actually at the raw meat as well. I don't know if they swallowed it or anything. But
oh God!
She's a vegetarian, the actress.
Apparently. Really?
Jesus, so bleak.
God, that's even the making of this film was totally bleak.
Yeah. Low budget for you.
Yeah, bloody hell.
But then, it becomes a bit of like a post-apocalyptic.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it goes
from there, doesn't it?
It's weird that, like, it's very rare you see like a post-apocalyptic film and a pre-apocalyptic film. It's kind of sandwiched, and it's not bad. Like,
it reminds me that the bits towards the end of the film remind me of, is it The Road?
Yeah, I have it over here, but I'm saving that for another podcast in the future.
It's that kind of thing where, like, all rags.
Yeah.
And people, there's no, obviously, still no electricity, no crops, nothing. Yeah. There's
just, again, more bleak. It's just more bleak stuff.
But the thing is, now it's nuclear winter.
Yeah.
So not only is it bleak, it's dark, cold. It's like minus 25 degrees.
Well, yeah, that's it. The dust actually sticks around and blocks out the sun. So we don't, that's why the crops aren't growing. There's various
nuclear
issues.
Nuclear winter for what? And it's carrying on, and like this is 10 years later.
Like, I sometimes forget the term nuclear winter means, you know, it does what it does, you know.
Because the temperature drops, like, but I think it says in the film, if it's like somewhere like on the, in Russia where it's a big open space.
Yeah.
And it'll drop to some, but even here, it'll drop to something like that minus 25 yeah. or something daft. But if it's like in America, it'd be yeah. like minus 50 or whatever, because it's a big and expansive, just open area.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's, and that's where it becomes, you know, that you see them digging in the ground and they're still trying to survive and do what they used to do.
Yeah.
But it's impossible because everything's wrecked. The earth, goose, the earth itself dead.
Yeah.
Because it's all nuclear.
Jesus.
Death.
Nuclear death.
Plant a bean and get death.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, she actually basically sells her body, doesn't she? For I know, just when you thought it couldn't get any bleaker, it keeps getting bleaker. There's literally no. Don't expect, you know,
a woman can't survive on scavenged sheep guts
alone. No, she has to, and it's and she's. It's not like she's like, oh, what a lovely cabbage. Or yeah. no, it's rats.
Yeah.
She's selling her body. To have rats so she can feed herself and feed her baby. She's doing exactly all she can to survive in this environment. Like, you know, we don't see the act itself, but we imagine it's something.
We see the rat.
Yeah, we see the rats. We do see the rats. But I think one of the, like, it's all harrowing. It's all really scary. But when the actual bomb is dropped and you see the burning bodies, and I think they use actual footage as well from Protect and Survive and various other these like emergency broadcasts and any information we have on kind of nuclear radiation fallout, all that sort of stuff. And all these facts and figures that come up just cement home the kind of the realism and the docudrama aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think that also is probably the most terrifying aspect.
And I think, I mean, now, as I said before, that was 50 to 100 kiloton.
Mm.
Now we're talking in megatons.
Yeah.
So that blast of and what it did to would be to
accelerate it. Yeah, yeah. So, all the effect would be accelerated as well. So
we'd only have to hit about three places in England to wipe out the whole of the UK. Whereas the show one where it doesn't seem that bad because it wipes Sheffield out almost.
Yeah,
but it doesn't really mention anything.
No, outside
of
that,
there's a slight like touching on the outside of it, and but you don't really know what's happening. Fair, that was a world.
Yeah, further
imagine
afield,
that it's like the end of the world. Essentially.
Yeah, I imagine. I believe that, you know, America is basically wiped out for you know, and Russia's probably pretty much wiped out.
It's just a nuclear war.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all fucked.
But you don't row because it's kind of like centrally
localized. Yeah,
and that's what makes it more hard hitting.
Yeah,
because you realize that nobody knows what's going on outside their city or their house or their family because you can't and. Frankly, at that point, you don't really care.
No, exactly.
You're just trying to survive.
You know, and I think that's where a lot of these disaster movies go too far afield. They're talking about, you know, the politics and the international stuff and you know, all the people affecting so many different people around the world. I don't think you do it like that.
No.
I think you keep it small. You keep it like, you know, Poseidon Adventure or Towering Inferno. You keep it a small group of people trying to survive and they've got no help and there's no hope, seemingly no hope, to get out of this situation. And again, no hope in this. Absolutely. Like, with those films, you might have a little bit of a chance. But this is as bleak as it gets.
I think that's what's good about it as well, is because it's based on facts
and
scientific realities.
Yeah.
There's none of this, like, it forgets its own rules halfway through.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And suddenly they find a car that works and drive off into the sunset. It's all...
It's like, there's like a safe area. There's an area that's not affected by the radiation. There's a paradise or something.
Yeah.
No, no. Everywhere is... It's all gone wrong. And it's just so, so, so sad, the whole thing.
But then you get a glimmer of hope in that. I believe a daughter is 10.
Mm.
Must be 10, because if it's 10
10
years,
or so, yeah. I think what happened, she has the baby survives, but as the kind of the baby comes out and she bites the umbilical cord, there's another little fact that comes out and says all children affected or unborn children or children in the blast will be affected physically and mentally by the effects of the radiation. And then it kind of skips 10 years later, and it also says people will be experiencing cataracts as well, will be getting cataracts. So the main character who followed throughout the film, she goes blind. And she's working, tilling the fields with her daughter. and her daughter is showing signs of, you know, what's the politically correct word? I'm thinking of the wrong one, clearly.
Nuclear brain damage.
Yeah, let's call it that. Because it's not a modern film. It puts in certain words are kind of slightly out of context, not appropriate nowadays. But yeah, you're right. So there's been sort of brain damage. So they kind of like, and it's almost like people have stopped talking to each other as well.
Well, you can't. There's no language.
Yeah.
Because there was no teachers, obviously. Yeah. Well, no one had time to teach. Yeah. Probably half the teachers got died.
Yeah, anyway, exactly. Yeah.
But then the rest were in the work, getting made to work by the man.
And all they're doing is kind of tilling the fields. They probably wouldn't speak to each other.
That's the thing. It's like the people who are powerless but get given a gun are kind of like working against the people who they should. You should all just be working together.
Yeah.
But instead it's like still trying to get that authority over
people. Yeah, exactly.
And like keeping the hierarchy.
Yeah, some semblance of it. Yeah, some semblance. Because I think they want to try and establish that government, or there'd just be absolute chaos constantly. And I think you see them fighting against
it. There's no, if you think about it, there's no government.
No.
But they're still following the orders as if there was. But of course, there's nothing coming down to tell them to do that. They're just doing it because that's their job.
Don't they say, is this in the film or am I getting this mixed up? But they said, like, keep your workbooks, keep your textbooks or things like that. Keep
for when we're back to normal.
Yeah, when we're back to normal, keep all your information and stuff.
Like they hide the you see the scene where they're taking the artwork off the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because
we need to pretend that's a national treasure. That artwork.
That and the same.
You know, great. Yeah. But
because everyone just believes that it'll just be like, there you go.
Yeah,
we'll be all right in a couple of weeks.
But again, that's the government's kind of, you know, they go, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. You know, all this kind of, you know, duck and cover. And it's a lie. It's all a lie. It's all a horrendous lie to give them some semblance of hope. But there is none. There is absolutely nothing about this film that is hopeful in any way, especially if you're pregnant as well.
God, the last scene.
So the last scene.
Spoiler alerts?
I don't think you need spoilers in this film because it's just a series of horrible things.
I think if you haven't seen it from the 80s, like, there's plenty of times you've seen it.
I think it's been what, plus 30, 40 years.
But I haven't said that. I think it's just become, because of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
I think it's just becoming
more relevant again. Yeah, exactly. That kind of, and the horror of it.
I think there's an actual, somebody's doing a petition or something at the moment to try and get the BBC to start showing it again.
Showing threats, yeah.
To show world leaders.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, I think that was the...
We're edging close to...
Yeah, exactly. Nuclear war.
Yeah.
I think that was the reason it was made.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, it was off the back of War Game and it not being released or only being released in America, not being shown by the BBC, that sort of thing. You know, that this is a direct, you know, and it's, like you said, it's...
Yeah, but War Game, if for anyone who's interested, is, as I say, it's on the BBC iPlayer now, so you can watch it. It's 45 minutes long, I think, so it's not... You can
it's not a big one.
Yeah, stick it on before you go to work, cheer yourself up. It's black and white because it was in the 60s. It's a proper documentary as well. It's done as a documentary with like interviewing people in the streets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's slightly more harrowing in the fact that you see kids getting radiated and then they're going blind.
Yeah.
And they're like, and it looks real.
Yeah.
It's really, it's on all.
Maybe that, and that's probably why it was too much for them at the time.
Yeah, so the BBC made it, but basically watched it and went, nope, it's too violent. Mm. It is more violent. You see people getting shot and all that stuff. Mm. I think they used actual facts from
events.
Like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, somewhere in Germany about wars, escalating tensions. So they used all that, exactly what the little skirmish battles that had actually happened, and then just ramped it up to show what will happen to a proper timeline. But it's like, that shows... I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, like you said, we need to show it again. Like, there's petitions to show it again, because...
You know what I was going to say.
Yeah, go on. Carry on.
The BBC made it, obviously, and then they didn't show because it was too violent.
Yeah.
It got shown theatrically instead.
Hmm.
Won an Oscar. So the BBC then went, okay.
Maybe we should get in on this. Yeah,
like, maybe. Where, obviously, the guys who made Threads...
They got their inspiration.
Saw that and have made extrapolated on it and made it bigger, a feature film rather than...
Yeah. It's just so sad. It's depressing. Yeah. It's actually... It really did affect me, like, more than any film I've seen in, I don't know, last 2 or 3 years, easy. Right. I cried at Avengers Infinity War, but that's a different kind of thing. I didn't cry at this, but it did... Like, stayed haunted.
That's the thing. It's not a horror film, as in, but it is a horror film.
Yeah,
and it's haunting.
Absolutely.
It's, as you say, it's haunting.
Yeah.
You'll you'll be just sat in work or whatever, and it'll just something will just pop into your head going, Jesus, you know?
Yeah. It will stay with you. It'll stick with you. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
No.
I honestly don't think I will ever forget this film. If you want to see a film that you will never forget watching, it's this.
Like, The Day After is more forgettable. From
your standpoint, yeah. I might have to look at that in the future.
Because it's more Hollywood, you know, and
there's a gloss to it.
When the Wind Blows, as a cartoon, short cartoon, Raymond Briggs, that, again, is, I think, possibly, dare I say it, more harrowing than Fred's.
Wow, really?
Because it's just an old man and an old woman.
And it's like a nice, sweet animation.
Like, oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Terribly, terribly sad.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Like,
go on.
They both die.
Yeah.
Clearly. But they basically get into the little plastic bags themselves at the end.
Oh my God. Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Ugh.
And it's a book. It's
yeah.
It's a like the Snowman book.
Yeah, yeah.
It was originally a child's book.
Like a child's book. Yeah. Well, I guess... I'm sorry if this hasn't been like that entertaining, guys, because... I mean, it was my idea, but fucking hell.
I'm normally a lot more fun than this.
Like, if you can list all the disgusting, gross things and horrible things you can imagine, being ill, dying, radiation, burns, you know, list them all, go through the list. They're all in this film.
Yeah.
Every single one. There's
a scene where there's the floor's bubbling and you don't know whether it's oil coming out or blood.
Yeah.
There's a hand candle, I like to call it.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
It's kind just of... a hand coming out of the ground.
It's on fire.
Like, it's
I think...
bodies.
Yeah, there's when it goes off, there's a toy of E.T.
Yeah.
And it's just melting. Just all of a sudden, just quickly melting.
Suffocating cat.
Yeah.
Dead rat. Loads of rats.
Loads of dead rats, yeah. People just burn alive. Yeah. I think the one image, like, there's so many images that stick with me, but I think the one image that really sticks with me is the expectant mothers walking through the, just seeing the devastation, the absolute devastation of what was once Sheffield.
And her face.
Her face is just, I think she's got kind of like, she's got like a, there's character to
a
her
younger,
face.
A younger aged face.
Yeah, like, yeah, and it's, and it's... And it kind of like, there's a world weariness to her face, I think, normally. Like, not saying she's unattractive, but she's got a very mature face. Yeah, something. And it just gets worse and worse throughout the film.
Yeah.
But the moment that really sticks with me is, you know, she just made that statement about wanting her baby to die, not wanting it. And she finds a mother who's just haunting,
yeah.
Absolute haunting stare, and is holding the charred remains of her own child, and just swinging the baby like everything's fine.
Yeah.
That's my baby, you know.
And she's gone.
She's absolutely and mentally. She's gone. The baby is clearly gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a toy. It probably looks like a burnt toy or something. Yeah. But you know, you just.
I'm hoping it was a burnt toy. To be honest.
To be honest, you don't actually look at the baby.
No.
You absolutely look dead into her eyes because she looks directly at the camera, and that's from the point of view of the expectant mother.
Yeah.
And that's basically what she thinks her future.
They're the kind of things that do haunt you.
Yeah.
Those images, and it is single images like.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of that freeze
frames
used
and shots, and lots of
to really get that in.
So many quick cuts as well, and like the interspersed with real footage, and like you know, protect and survive, all those kind of clips and things, and the voiceover as well. That voiceover,
like the burning hands and the dying cats, is all like chopped cuts.
Yeah,
so it's like it's not there's nothing lingering or like. Gratuitous about it.
No,
it's
you don't hang on it, but it still sticks with you.
Yeah.
Every snapshot. It's like you're looking at, you know, Mount Vesuvius or something, the charred remains of people and things like that.
That's when it's like a proper documentary as well, I think. And it makes you go, oh my God.
Yeah. And I've seen some harrowing documentaries as well. I'm not, you know, a lot of documentaries aren't an easy watch, but because we kind of get to know them. Is more so than you might do in a documentary.
Yeah.
Fully engross yourself in these people's lives, and you know there's comedy and stuff at the start. You know, like and it's very like loving. There's a lot of love in these families. Doesn't matter. It's all going.
The world's
it's all going away.
Shit.
You know, if you're looking to be depressed at any point in your life, you're like, you know what? I don't have enough depression already. I'm just going to stick Threads on.
Yes.
You know, if you want to, you know. if you want to upset a partner, if you know someone's said quite upsetting for you, here we go. Let's stick threads on. I'm sure you'll feel great.
I think the Blu-ray's available now, special edition. You can buy them after the birthday.
Especially the depressed edition. Harrowing.
It comes in a mushroom.
Mushroom case.
Yeah. Mushroom steelbook.
Oh, God. Right.
But the girl... Yeah. At least she lives. She gets pregnant herself. The daughter.
Yes. So she kind of.
Which is what confused me because.
Yeah.
I thought. No, I don't know much about the sexual thing of a human.
Yeah. When they reproductive cycle.
But I'm sure she'd only be 8 or 10, and she has a baby.
Maybe. Yeah. I think it might have skipped a couple of years. I think at that point. She's still too young to be having very kids young. Anyway.
And she had to be some kind of like mental institution thing.
Yeah, she kind of. Fair. Yeah, there's a scene. So the original expectant mother from the first attack has died. Her daughter is on her own now. She's, you know, mentally handicapped because of the radiation and because of the de-evolution of language and education.
Use word. There's an old program called Words and Pictures.
Yes.
Which in itself is one of the most harrowing programs ever. Wordy, the character in it, haunts my dreams from when I was a kid. It's like, if you don't know what it is, it's like Petr Cech, the footballer, wears this protective headgear with like knobbles on it.
Yeah.
It's essentially that with arms floating in the air.
Jesus.
Wordy. Words and, and it basically used to teach kids Words and Pictures.
Sounds like, was it Vic and Bob's Lloyd Grossman? So that's what it sounds like.
It's horrendous. It really is truly bizarre. I like used to show that to draw. Good. Used to draw like in light the letter W down, round, up. That,
you know, yeah, I remember. You know what? I remember that. I remember that. I do remember that.
It's the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. Yeah. It's like a Henry Hoover ghost.
I'll have to look at it because I'm already terrified. What?
That's the thing. Now people look at him and go, Dan, I think you've
lost it.
You've lost the plot, mate, because it doesn't look anything like that. if you can imagine like Petr Cech's helmet on a Henry Hoover ghost. That's what it is, floating in the air, going, woo, telling you how to spell words, and showing you
pictures, some showing words, you words,
cat
pictures.
Skeletons in this film.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. Yeah, so
that was a real episode, but they've only got this VHS tape.
Yeah, and they just play it over and over again. Yeah. There's an old woman who's just mouthing along to it. Yeah. You've seen it that many times. She's just mouthing along to it.
Reminds me of my brother with He-Man and Master of the Universe when he was a kid. He used to watch that
every episode. So yeah, she leaves that kind of mental institution. She goes off on her own. She meets a couple of guys and they kind of steal some food off her. And then I think she hangs around them.
And people are still stealing.
Yeah, exactly.
People are still scumbags.
Yeah, absolute bastards. Absolute bastards. And which leads into the next scene where they manage to steal something and then they fight. And I think the guy rapes her.
Yeah.
And then she's a few months, I think 9 months later, she's about to have the baby. She walks into a kind of makeshift hospital. Yeah. She's like, she doesn't even say baby. She's like, baby coming, baby coming. And that's like their language. And it's like the guys are, when they're trying to steal off, it's like, gizzen, gizzen. Like, not like give me that.
It has become like caveman.
Yeah, like time. Bastardized English slang going on. And she goes to have the baby. And, you know, you don't get just one harrowing birth in this.
No.
You get a second one. And because she's been affected by the radiation so drastically in her small life, in her very, you know, 13 years or however old she is at the time, her baby is, you know, she has that horrible, horrendous birth anyway. And then
her face.
Yeah, she's
it's
screaming. Like her face is shown. Yeah, screaming and the kind of the violence of the birth and everything. Yeah, it's not that graphic. It's not knocked up graphic births or anything like that. But she's then handed the baby quite aggressively. Yeah, handed the baby and it's dead.
Yeah.
It's not crying. It's just dead. We don't see the baby, but it's heavily hinted that when she looks, it's deformed.
It's heavily hinted. Well, the thing is, that's the thing. It's heavily hinted at that it's not what you'd call a baby.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And the scream
she gives
it's just like that primal scream.
Yeah, just horror. Just
and
absolute.
That's the end of the film.
Yeah, and that's where it leaves you. So happy ending.
Happy, bright, finished, boom thing.
Very Hollywood ending.
Have some of that.
Jesus,
I was waiting for the end of credits scene, you know, like just to go, joking.
Yeah, post credits. It was all a dream.
Yeah, we'll skip it.
And I think, but I think if they did add anything like that, it would totally take away from everything you've been through. And it would make you go, no, fuck you, because this has all been real to me. And it's very real to me.
The idea of that whole film is to just educate you into, let's not have a war. It is a silly thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a line, those protesters...
they were real C&D protesters.
Really?
I believe,
yeah. Yeah, and they're saying, you cannot win a nuclear war. And she's right. She's absolutely right. People are going, oh, there are no jobs in Sheffield. And, you know...
Well, that's the funny thing, that the war game that it's based on. If you think about war games, Matthew Roderick, that's the computer works that out for itself. That, you know, the only way to win is not to play.
So if a computer can work out...
Let's play thermonuclear.
Yeah. If a supercomputer can work out that nuclear war is a bad thing, maybe we should listen to the computer, you know, and as super smart as we all are, you know.
Well, as Thatcher said, that you now we've got nuclear weapons, you can't unmake them. So let's make more. Let's kill everyone.
I don't agree with you there. But there are scary similarities that come around again, you know.
I think that's why it's so, like, people are talking about it again now. It's such a good thing, because I think people should watch it, and it was almost like a school made for schools film.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, other school used to wheel in a big telly and a video when I were a lad, and show you an educational film.
Yeah.
Usually with badly drawn stick figures of how to have sex.
Well, I'll tell you a harrowing story of my own. I'll tell you. In my religious studies in my high school, we were talking about Catholicism and, you know, basically abortions.
Yeah.
They showed us a documentary about abortion, having abortion. And there was in fact a recorded abortion on it. You couldn't really see much. It was a very early stage abortion, but they showed us the footage of, you know, the woman's in pain, screaming, and they showed what was left, what was removed as well. And I went bright green. You know, I was fucking horrified by this. This is probably just as harrowing as Threads was for me. And all that, I just remember all the lads going, oh, you look like you're going to be sick, you fucking dickhead. And I'm like, just fucking watch something absolutely horrific. And I don't know why the fuck we watched it. I don't know why the fuck he thought it was a good idea to put on. You know, I'm not going, you're like, yay abortion. I like that we have an option, but why this? And that's always stayed with me as well. And I think that will kind of occupy, you know, the same space as Threads has in my mind.
I don't know. Is it Red Asphalt?
I don't know.
It's a famous American,
right?
But I think in American schools, or it might be British schools. Yeah. I might be wrong here completely. But it's Red Asphalt, I'm sure it's called Red Asphalt, okay. Not Red Tarmac. If it's Red Tarmac, it'd probably be English.
Probably.
But apparently it's like all, it was shown in high schools to stop people speeding.
Right, okay.
And it's all people mangled in car crashes.
Jesus, really?
And in fact, people talk about that, like it's that similar thing where they wheel out in school and then just terrify all the kids for red.
I was just honest, I was like, no idea why they would show. I can't remember the teacher. I can't remember, you know, what the lesson was about. I just remember that video and I just was like, why? For what reason? Was it to scare us out of having sex? I don't know, but it was... some scary, scary shit.
Well, again, even that comes to now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The whole abortion thing.
Yeah, that's all of them. Yeah, yeah. I think we have got quite political, but I think we have to talk about the politics of it.
That's all there is, isn't it? Yeah. To do with nuclear anything is politics.
It is politics. I don't think you can have any discussion really about anything without not. I mean, you're technically discussing politics no matter what you talk about, really. Yeah. Remember that advert a few years ago? It was like, oh, I don't talk politics. And the guy just shuts him up every time he speaks about anything. And I was like, yeah, he's right. That's right. It's all politics.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you get to an adult, you realise how, when you were a kid, how lucky you were just not letting any of this get to you. Just carry on. I'll just go out to play.
Carry on. It's fine. It's fine. It's
now you just think, if I go out to play now, will a nuclear bomb drop?
I wonder.
I hope there's a ditch I can duck and cover in.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. Horrendous. I also like think about that scene where she looks for shelter in a hospital.
Yeah.
And literally they're all just, everyone's just a zombie.
Yeah.
Just they're all just wandering in and just like, you know, they're not saying anything. And she just goes through and it's rammed and everyone's like bleeding and the nurses and the doctors are doing their absolute best, much like they do nowadays in the NHS.
Indeed.
And it just can't handle the load. And people are just stood there. Burns, blind, arms burnt off, you name it. She's just walking through and she's, you know, I think there's people looking at her quite aggressively like, You got off lightly. You got off all right. You look fine. What are you trying to do here? Look, I've literally. And there's she again. Another shot that sticks with me is she just looks at this kid who's got his face all half burnt off, and she just kind of looks at him, and he's like, you know, he's in pain. I think there's like tears going and stuff. And I think eventually she just leaves because she's like, these people need seeing to more than me. And then she goes off and, you know, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, sad film. So yeah, I don't think I'd recommend this. No. But then again, I would. I think I would recommend it for politicians of any sort of power. Or maybe show like fairly adult children, and if they're planning to go into politics.
I think everyone should watch
it. Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I think everyone should watch it and then chill out, because people can't, I don't know, there's like this thing at the moment, there seems to be a push towards conflict.
Yeah.
In everything.
In everything, yeah.
Everything's like...
We want to kick off about everything.
And if you watch this, just think, you know what? We should all chill out a little bit and just...
You just mellow out.
Let's not get melted.
Yeah. Let everybody do their thing.
Yeah.
If they're not hurting anybody, great. Good. Leave them to it. You know, if they practice a certain religion, or if there's a certain sexuality, certain, you know, gender or no gender, what have you, are they hurting you? Have they got anything to do with you?
What does it matter to
you? What the fuck does it matter? Nothing. Let them get on with their business. Don't hate on them.
Because when that mushroom cloud goes up, you're all the same.
Exactly.
A little crispy fried.
Exactly. It doesn't matter, you know. Creed, colour, race, religion, you know, sexual orientation, doesn't matter. We're all irradiated and dying. So on that note, we're going to slowly come to an end. I just want to bring up, I did ask on Twitter, I think you responded as well, and Facebook, if anybody had a favourite Cold War movie or a favourite movie that depicted a nuclear war. I think I've got one person other than yourself, and you've actually mentioned all the films you wanted to mention from that tweet. Just one little factoid before I do that. This was actually nominated for 7 BAFTAs.
Right, yeah.
And it won Best Drama, Best Single Drama, Best Design, Best Film Cameraman. Okay, it's a weird title for an award. Best Film Editor. And the other nominations were Costume Design, Best Makeup, and Film Sound. And I think they're all well-deserved nominations and well-deserved wins as well. I don't know what else was out around that time, but sounds good to me. So my biggest fan, I am Jack's Musings, is back again with another comment. Thanks for listening, Jack. Keep it coming. I love your tweets as well.
Keep listening, Jack. Don't let this
get you off. Please don't end your own life after listening to this. Anybody that listens to my usually quite jovial podcast.
I do often bring this way. I've been on many podcasts that survived.
they've all killed themselves after talking to you.
The podcasts all suddenly stopped.
Yeah, they're like, oh God, I can't talk to him again. Christ. Don't worry, I've had, surprisingly, considering the topic, I've had a lot of fun today. But yeah, Jack says that the one springs to mind, the one that depicts nuclear war, is T2, so Terminator 2, Judgment Day. So it's the dream sequence where Sarah Connor is at the playground, she's watching her John Connor play on the swings or the little rocky horse or, you know, all the other...
Those dangerous rocking
horses. So dangerous.
Spring horse thing.
It's like, actually, that's a Terminator as well. That's one of Skynet. And she's watching and she sees the bombs go off and then everything's obliterated. She's holding onto the fence for dear life and her skin's coming off. And that's the one that sticks with me as well. Like, that's one of the first times I think I saw a film that kind of depicted what a nuclear blast would be like in an entertaining model, but also...
In a fun way.
In a fun way. Not that fun for the characters, but yeah, that was probably my first kind of exposure to something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Very different from this film. There's at least some hope time travel involved.
So the thing is, as well, with the no time travel and no fate but what we make ourselves.
Yeah,
it's someone else has made your fate for you, and you get that big flash of light.
Yeah,
a bit blind, and then it's all 50 seconds later that the blast hits you.
You know what? if it was like Threads, the machines wouldn't have to worry. Like, we couldn't fucking fight them. We couldn't fucking run. John Connor would be like, you know.
The machines would just go, we don't have to go back. It's they're all going to die anyway.
John Connor's going to have 3 heads and 2 arms, you know. And
the leader of the resistance in 5 countries. It's just one person.
just like a body horror thing. It's like Akira or something. Just like
a cross between The Blob and Society.
Oh, what a film. I watched that recently. Again, I love Society. weird film.
That's Harrowing in its own.
I know. Yeah. if you ever watch Society, which I highly recommend, the last
the
30
word,
minutes.
Body horror. That's
yeah,
it
it's pure body horror. I'm going to call into that. Again, a very happy go lucky kind of podcast.
Yes.
It's fun, light, frivolous fun that we've had today. But I would definitely have you on again, Dan.
Thank you. You are,
like I said at the start, we didn't get to talk about this much of the start because I wanted to kind of crack on, but you are a photographer,
yes.
A professional photographer. You've done many of my kind of cosplay photographs and various other, and some wonderful edits as well. I always share your work because it is phenomenal. So where can people find your have you got a Facebook page, Twitter?
Find me on all the socials.
All the socials.
It's at Dan Burgess Photo on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Dan's Photo on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at Dan's Photo 1 on Twitter.
Okay, all right. So.
And I could do with a Twitter followers.
Yes, yeah, so let's please do follow Dan. Please share his stuff, retweet.
Know, Steve Guttenberg follows me. Clang.
Yeah, you've taken some photos
Tim
of some.
Coates.
Yes, yeah. Recently, you were at the Bike Fest, UK Bike Fest.
Bike Fest, and he was one of the guests along with Tommy Flanagan.
Nice. Yeah. So he's in Sin City as well. That guy. Yeah,
and he's in Bad Bloods. Bad Blood. Sorry.
Oh, the new. Is that the new series? The spin-off.
I think series 3 started now or something like that. So that's about a crime family.
Nice.
But he was great. I got like a one-on-one photo shoot with him. A lovely guy, spot on. So all those kind of celebrity photos,
yes.
As well as cosplay.
Good stuff. Like you do everything. You did photos for the show I was in, Westernized as well.
Yes,
from
great.
The Death by Pie company.
Did this logo.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Right? Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
That's a joke.
I love all this. It was brilliant. You did all the kind of old school photos and stuff, and that was really good. We kind of had to fit you in just before a show.
Yeah, it was a great show.
It was a lot of fun. And
I brought my wife, and she enjoyed it thoroughly.
Great. I don't think she'd enjoy this thoroughly. I don't know. Did you watch this with her?
No. The good thing is she doesn't really watch that many films.
No.
And I say, do you want to watch this? What's it about? And she passed.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder why she didn't fancy it.
It's a 1980s documentary about how we're all going to die.
Sold.
And it's 2 hours long.
Fantastic.
2 hours of pure harrowing dread.
So yeah, so that's where to find Dan if you want to hire him as well.
I like living things, really. I don't just watch miserable things.
No, exactly. I'm sure next time I have you on, we'll talk about.
Well, if you see me selfies, you'd think of it.
Exactly, the miserable. I love the miserable selfies. They're my favorite. But yeah, you can hire Dan. You can share him. Appreciate his work. He does edits as well. The edits have to be his photos, though, just to make you aware.
Or with permission
of the original photographers. You can't do an edit on someone without consent of the
copyright.
Copyright laws, all those stuff. But this has been brilliant. You can find me and the podcast and all the other wacky guests. And maybe try all those other podcasts before you get to this one.
Try the happy ones.
Or maybe listen to this one first and then listen to all the other happy ones after, just to get you out of that kind of funk, that radioactive fallout funk. That is going to be the title of my new album, Radioactive Fallout
Funk. We should play a clip of that at the end, just to, just to cheer it up.
Bow, 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 bow.
A little like, some of the... that's the only singing on it.
Just vomiting. Oh, I got it in my bass. So you can find me and the podcast.
It's all acoustic, so there's no electricity.
Stop it. I want to finish this podcast. I want to get you home. So you can find me at Secret Balls on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Dan_Balls. On Instagram, it is Spider Dan Secret Balls. The podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. Leave us a review if you can. I've got a few nice reviews recently, and that'd be lovely if we get a few more. But don't feel inclined. Only if you feel inclined to. Don't feel like you're obligated to. That would be nice. I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. And take care, and don't get bombed.
Yes.